people getting started is they don't think about taxes. They haven't saved it. They've spent it. And then it becomes a surprise.
Hey, Slay. Hey, everyone. It's me, Jay, and I'm with my girl, Nina. And welcome back to the No Stylist Left Behind podcast. We want to give a big shout out to our sponsors at Olico Professional. Nina, I'm fired up today because money, honey, we're talking about financials and it's going to get down and dirty. And we love opening up the space where we can embrace money. We talk about it a lot of time. Nina, you lead us through the journey of what it means to have a relationship with money. And I just love that you're my best friend too.
Oh, well, thanks. Listen, you know, I love talking about money. I have a course called Make That Money.
Make That Money.
And I think it's very, very important for people to feel comfortable talking about money, even when it is not good, you know, and I feel like I share a lot of my story because I'm in the space where I feel good and comfortable and confident to share all of the mistakes that I made when it came to finances and money and my relationship with money. And I just want to make it comfortable for everyone else that they're, you know, we kind of have to move away from the guilt and the shame and the things that we have, like the mistakes maybe that we've made. And I think that one of the areas that we struggle with as an industry is thinking long-term when it comes to money. When we think, because we're so used to living in the now and we're so used to, I would say, probably a few years back, more so having cash. Now everything is done, you know, through, it's all electronic. But when you have cash, it's easy. Money comes, money goes. And I think we're so used to living in the moment that we forget that we have to plan for our future. So today's guest, which I am so beyond excited about because this is going to open your eyes into thinking long-term financial security for yourself and your family. And we actually have Brett Fellows, who is a certified financial planner, and we're going to be talking about retirement and we're going to be talking about taxes. So thank you, my friend, for joining us and being with us today.
Thank you, Nina and Jay. I will try my best to match your energy today. Excited to be here. Thank you.
Yes, of course. And we're excited to have you because I think we are always looking for people to that are outside of our realm of comfortability and knowledge. And that's why I partner with CPAs and attorneys to kind of help with my students and walk them through those areas that are not my area of expertise. And so I think with financial planning, I think especially like when I was in my 20s, I wasn't thinking about when I was going to be in my 40s and my 50s. I was just living my life, right? And spending money. And so I'm curious to know a little bit about, because you, I know that you your focus is on small business, but you have now, you know, you're working with salon owners and you're in the beauty business space. So I'm really curious to know how you ended up getting in the space of the beauty industry.
Well, yes, and that's true. We've just really started, I would say, this year. My coach, I will thank for that. She put me through my ideal target profile of a client and the demographics and the psychographics. And long story short, at the end of the day, my favorite client in our books right now is a salon owner. Her name's Angie. She has a really good salon. It does maybe 2 million in sales. She's fully funding her retirement plan. We bought the building and she's paying herself rent. And then we have something that she can sell to ultimately fund her retirement. So I love that aspect of being on the front end of it, but then more importantly, being on the back end of it, because you know, you're going to leave your salon at some point in time. It is inevitable. So if you own it, 85% of any business owner's net worth is tied up in your salon. So how are you going to get it out? What are you going to do? How are you going to capitalize on that? So I feel that the research that we've done as I dug deeper, knowing that that person was my ideal client, I said, And we just spent a lot of time researching the market and, you know, reading the periodicals and listening to the podcasts. And there's just not a lot of people talking about this in your space. And so our goal, frankly, is to say, well, why can't we be the thought leader in that space for this industry? So, and that's what we're trying to do. And we've started podcast called Unchained from the Chair, and some series of maybe some educational series and all different types of things that we're, as you can imagine, that we're having planned to prepare and unload in 2023. So we're excited.
Wow. I'm excited because
I'm fired up.
Well, just the name of your podcast, I love so much. And I think, listen, you couldn't have picked a better industry. I mean, let's just be real, right? Because, and I think that people are open and they want to learn, but you're right. No one is really talking about that in this space. And it does have for us, and speaking from a former salon owner, because you're right, eventually you're going to part with your salon. And yeah. I sold my business and so did Jay. And it happens at different times for everyone. But when we're talking about preparing financially, it's scary. When you start talking about IRAs and all the things, it makes us nervous. So I want to start out by understanding, if we're just starting from scratch, we've never had a conversation with a financial advisor, we don't know where to start or where to kind of point, you know, what direction to go in, what kind of retirement plans do you suggest, and sure. where can they start to maybe put their money where it's a little bit more comfortable for them?
Right, right. So we do this a lot. We have this conversation a lot as we've accumulated or started working with some commission-based salon owners. It's interesting, the booth renters then is becoming more and more apparent, finding anyway. So yes. I have a lot of these conversations with these people are just starting out with the booth renter, and they want to get started or saving for retirement. And the simplest way is simply what's known as an IRA, an individual retirement account. And frankly, you can put $6,000 into that this year. If you're over age 50, you can save an additional $1,000. So it's not a lot of money, but at least it's you doing something. And specifically to where, now we probably won't even work with that client. We will actually bring them to Fidelity.com or Schwab.com, which are probably the two largest custodians. Mm-hmm. And with technology now, you know, with a click of a mouse, you're connected your bank account to it. You can send back automatic purchase, and it's not going to hurt you. It doesn't need to be scary. It's not difficult at all. So that is the very first place just to get started. It would be an individual retirement account. Now that could be a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. And the difference between the two, and I can talk more about that later, is simply tax. Do you want to pay tax now, or do you want to pay tax later? There's advantages and disadvantages to both. So it depends on the client and what they're looking to achieve. But an individual IRA is the first place I would start. And Nina, do you want me to go on maybe to the next level?
Well, I have a question about, because one of the questions that I get a lot in my Make That Money course is about a SEP IRA.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit of a difference of that? And then what would be like, what comes after the IRA? Because I know that that's like, that's comfortable for us. We're like, oh, IRA. Okay. I know that. I could do that. Right. And so what's the SEP IRA? And then what if they want to maybe go to the next level? What does that look like?
Yeah. Yes. So a SEP IRA is a little bit different in terms of you have the ability to save more than that $6,000, but it depends on your net income. And usually this is a rough draft, but it's about 25% of your net income can you put into a SEP IRA. And the maximum you can put into a SEP IRA is $61,000. So that's a big difference, but $61,000 versus $6,000. But that $61,000 has to be 25% of your net worth. So sometimes SEPs don't really work because for tax purposes, we're trying to get our taxes as low as possible. SEPs are a bit antiquated. They are kind of a product of the 80s, I like to say, is when they came out. They're old. And what has come about new, I guess, Nina, to that next level, if you are a solopreneur, would be what's called a solo 401k. Now, that is just like a 401k if you have a larger organization. But the difference is with this, you can defer up to the IRS maximum, which this year is $20,500. They change it every year. So you can defer $20,500. Now you do have to have W-2 wages for that. And so that's the difference between a SEP and a solo K. A SEP, you don't have to be on payroll, if you will.
Because
it comes out of your distributions, your net income. If you need a, if you want a solo 401k, that's more for the S corps, perhaps, where you have you're on your own payroll, you're paying yourself something. It may not be a lot, but at least enough to perhaps we do it just to cover the retirement contributions. And so that you can save $20,500 into the account. And if you're older, you can save another $6,500. So if you're over age 50, you can save $27,000 into a solo 401k from your W-2 wages. Now, the great part about a solo 401k, it then has, if you will, a SEP on top of it. So that's just of your W-2 wages. Now, if you still have a lot of net income, you can still, a similar calculation, a percentage of your net income, you can then do as an employer contribution. So the W-2 is the employee, the SEP is the employer, and this is all bundled in what's known as a solo 401k. And the maximum you can put in altogether is $61,000 this year.
Okay. And that, so I'm glad that you touched on that because I just started that for myself, solo 401k. And I wanted to know, because there are a lot of independent artists that are now filing as an S corp because their net profit is above that $50,000, which is what has been recommended, you know, to us by the CPA that teaches my courses. And so independent artists, don't tune out. Like, this is for you as well in terms of thinking about your future and securing your financial future. It could be the IRA, but it could be the solo 401k. Now they have to be on payroll. Is there any kind of stipulation in terms of having employees when it comes to that solo 401k?
Yeah. So these, well, I was making reference to the SEP. Well, the SEP you can do for employees, but it's, again, it's antiquated. But let just keep in mind, if you can walk away with anything, a SEP and a solo 401k, you can't have employees. The solo 401k, there's some rule, it's a little gray area. You can have a spouse, but no employees. So this is for the solo entrepreneur for those accounts. If you have employees, then you have to transition either to a simple IRA or a traditional 401k, which I'm happy to talk about if that makes sense.
Got you.
Okay. I love that. I do want to ask this question, and it's, you know, okay, so now we understand like the different retirement opportunities, but with stylists walking in the door, say with you, right?
Yeah.
What can they expect on like, how much will they know? Like, what can they afford? Like, how much are you looking at that going out of the income that you're making or bringing into your business?
Yes. So you can always work towards it from the ends, from the end in mind and come back to, okay, here's how much I want. And then bring that back to our today and show you how this is how much you have to save. But that frankly scares everybody to death.
Yeah.
but in its simplest form, I mean, I always just start with 10%. Just think of what you pay yourself. Can you not pay yourself 10%? Just get started with 10% and set it up automatically. So you don't even do it. It's automatically coming out of your bank account or through payroll, however you do it. The sooner you can get to 10%, like anything else, whether it's health or the easier it will be for you later on. But yeah, it doesn't behoove you to put monies into a retirement account if you don't know your budget. Because as these are IRS mandated accounts, so there's penalties if we take them out before age 59 and a half is kind of the magic rule. So you don't want to be putting monies in, then have to take monies out and have a large tax implication. But to be honest, Jay, I will tell you that most people start at 10. And then as they get older, the peak earnings career for most people is around 55 to 65.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the majority of people saving at that rate is about 20 to 25%.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's a kind of, it's a gradual, if you can think about it, then kids are out of college and so you can save the most then. So the bulk of your savings really isn't done till you're older. But like anything else, anything you can do, again, go Google compounding a penny and just see what a penny looks like after compounding 30 days. So if you can do anything, $10 a month, it doesn't really matter. But as the general rule, to answer your question, I would say 10%, everybody can do to get started.
And I love that you gave us that 10%, because everyone, when you really think about your daily lifestyle, right? Like, what does that look like? And I know that, like, we try to connect, like, to stylists, like stylists love Starbucks, right? Or their coffee. And it's like, let's look at how much you're spending. But also, you said something that we talk about a lot here, and it's, you have to know your numbers. Like, you have to be running your business accordingly to those crucial facts. So then that will allow you to set up that 10%, right? So 10%, everyone, out of 100, listen, you got this. And you have support. So I'm super fired up about it. I'm already up in the savings for retirement. My husband's the math person, so I'm set up to win. But yeah, you have accountability partners, everyone listening, right here on the podcast.
I just want to clear something up, because I want to make sure that, is that 10% on their gross revenue, or is that 10% of their net profit? Just so they understand. I think it's earnings, correct?
Well, there's no right or wrong answer, Nina. Okay. I would say off the top number.
Okay.
Personally. Awesome.
Got it. Perfect.
That's great. What are some tax benefits with these retirement plans? So maybe start with the first one that you talked about, and then the higher one.
So there's really, it's a pretty easy situation, but it gets complex. So like I said, you can either pay tax now or you can pay tax later. And the pay tax later is what's known as a Roth. Now, these are very common. They're common on IRAs. They're common on 401ks. Solo 401ks, they're just becoming common on. They were not prior to. But so here, think about this. All right, we've saved for you, Jay, and you now are 72 years old, and you have $1 million in your 401k. And frankly, $1 million is not a lot of money in today's day and age.
Yeah.
The issue is what's known as required minimum distribution. So if you put in anything into an IRA or 401k or solo 401k pre-tax, those monies have grown tax-free. You've never paid tax on those. So when you're age 72, there's what's known as required minimum distribution. So if you have $1 million at age 72, you're going to have to take out about $38,000 a year in distribution. Now, assume that those that your million stays invested, which it should, because you're going to live a very long time.
Yeah.
That million grows to, $1.6 million. So it still goes up every year, but the ratio for your required minimum distribution goes up. So in year two, you're going to owe $40,000. So play that out. Like, your tax bill will be larger at age 78 to 85 than it was when you were 35. Mm. And nobody realizes this. We have this huge wall of tax later if we put everything away pre-tax. So that's the benefit of Roth. If you are in the 22% tax bracket or lower, I would say max out Roth first, because mathematically you will do better long-term. You'll pay less tax over your lifetime.
Okay.
Now, it does you no favors now, because you're paying tax now, but you get no tax over that growth. And if you have children, God forbid something were to happen to you, anything in pre-tax, they have to pay tax on that within 10 years of your date of death. Anything in a Roth is tax-free to them. So it's an estate planning thing too.
Yeah, when I think about it, when you're talking, I'm like, I'd rather handle that in the front end for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd rather just handle it in the front end and then be successful in the back end.
Right. And so you can just Google IRS tax tables, whether you're married or single. As long as you fall in that 22% or lower tax bracket, I would definitely do Roth first.
Awesome.
It's a no-brainer.
So interestingly enough, we just went through all of this, my husband and I, with filing our taxes. And, you know, the thought process is for my husband, because he's also the math guy, even though I do math too, but he's like, he likes to plan. He's a bigger he plans ahead a lot more than I do, although I'm learning. With a tax bill, you know, for instance, for, you know, our accountant or CPA was saying, if you put in $5,000 into your solo 401k, you would actually save $2,300 on your tax bill. So to me, that's like almost half.
Yeah.
right? In the tax bill. Now it's going to vary for everyone, obviously, in terms, there's a lot of variables here, of course, but the thought behind it is, well, should I give all of the money to the IRS or should I put that money into our future? And so that I think is the mindset shift that we have to have. And it's like the government, we have to pay taxes. The government is going to, we have to, that's part of life, right? But if I have options and opportunity, and this is why, guys, it's so incredibly important to make sure that you have a CPA that can guide you like we do, that said, hey, this is what I suggest. If you can do 10,000, 15, five, you know, going through all the things and breaking it down for us. My thought process is, well, why would I give it to the government when I can actually save almost half of that for our future? Is that kind of, I know that it's not going to be that cut and dry and it's going to be different for everyone, but is that the mindset that will actually help people maybe part with some of their money? Because it's hard, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And as the hero message on our website is we do tax and retirement planning. They are hand in hand. Now, it's interesting, Nina, and like you said, the disclaimer, everybody's situation is different.
Sure.
And CPAs will hate me for this, but think of the CPA. You know, they get your information and they need to file your tax return for 2021. And then they're moving on to the next one. Mm-hmm. I'm married to a CPA, so I'm allowed to say this. You know, I would say they're looking out the rear view mirror. They're making sure for compliance that everything mm-hmm. you've done is okay and tightened
right.
up. But they don't do planning. Right? So they didn't look at Nina, and I'm just using this as an example, Nina and husband at age 75 and how much sure. you have accumulated, but what's your tax bill then? So you've got to calculate, yes, it may save you $2,500 now, but will it save you later? And again, the answer might be now is better. But yeah, that's something you need to look at every year because it's really impactful.
So let's talk about tax planning, because I feel yes. like, and listen, I speak from experience because you guys know that I've been in incredible debt in my business. I was in debt with the IRS. I just shared that post yesterday, as a matter of fact. And it's a very, very scary place to be. And I share this because I want you to avoid the mistakes that I made. Yeah. And I think that when you are not planning tax-wise, it isn't just about what you're paying every quarter or what you're paying at the end of the year. There is actually a plan that will, like Brett is going to talk about, that will actually get you set up to win and make you feel more confident. And in year, I think year six in my salon ownership, that's when I hired on the CPA that did then help me. And I did have a financial advisor, but the CPA actually really kind of did guide me in a way when it came to some tax planning. So Brett, can you talk a little bit about what that looks like and what they should expect or where they can get started when it comes to just tax planning in general?
Right. Yeah. To keep it simple, I would say, have you ever heard of the book Profit First?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that is the very first thing we give it as a gift to new clients. Any business owner, we make them read Profit First. So if you're just getting started, just read that book. It will answer
awesome.
It for you. But and all it simply does is creates buckets of money. So you have mm-hmm. a tax account. Nothing can go into that but your tax account. Now, Jay, like you're saying, you got to figure it out in advance. But yeah, we might be putting a third of every dollar into that tax account. So, but it's not a surprise. And I think that's just the biggest issue, Nina, for people getting started is they don't think about taxes. They haven't saved it. They've spent it. And then it becomes mm-hmm. a surprise. And then all of a sudden you'll start getting estimated quarterlies. And so you'll start to get your feet wet as your business grows. But yes, it's more a question about, again, systematically saving for tax. So it's not a surprise. And then as you get bigger, when you do the tax planning, working towards year end, what else can you do before December 31st? Like the things you were just talking about to reduce your tax for that year. So start as simple as save at least a third, I would say, to then getting on the other end of the spectrum, doing tax planning every fall before the year ends to see what you can do.
Whew. I'm fired up. I'm so inspired. Brett, I want to spring something on you. With okay. your expertise. So we like to give like some like inspirational, like crucial, like energy. Like, okay, so right now you're listening to the podcast. Nina and Jay is walking you down the line, talking about planning, retirement with Brett. Brett, what would you tell the business owners, the stylist, the solo entrepreneurs right now to kind of fire them up or to feel inspired to take action for the future? Like, why is it so crucial, like in your mindset?
Yeah. And I think the pandemic was a perfect example of how fast our world can change. And obviously this industry saw a big issue with that. So like anything else, it costs much more than you think. And so here I am, the boring planner. This is where I'll probably bore you, Jay, but you know, have an end in mind and work backwards. You know, less than 10% of business owners have an exit plan, you know, so when do you want to stop working? What does that life look like? And bring that back to present day. Here's what I'll do. Look at 25 years out and what you want life to look like then. And then if you bring that back to today, 25 years and break it out into 90-day intervals. So 4 quarters. So one quarter is 1%. So if you just save a little bit more each quarter, that's each quarter you're getting 1% closer to that goal.
Wow.
And we all can do 1%, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
That frees you up from time. That frees you up from stress. But if you just work on 1% every 90 days, you'll get to that goal that much faster.
Wow. I love it.
I love that. And I think the only thing that I would like to add is not to avoid.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us avoid because it's scary, because these are questions and topics that we don't understand. Maybe we feel silly asking questions. You know, I used to live in that space when I was first learning about all of this. And, you know, you have to work with someone that makes you feel comfortable so you can ask all of the questions, because this isn't our realm of comfortability. And what I would say is, get out of your own way and learn to be a little bit uncomfortable, because this is your future and it is your financial future. And we really want to create stability there so you don't have to work behind the chair when you're 65. Right. Maybe you want to. There's a difference between wanting to and having to. So Brett, this has been amazing. I thank you so much for your knowledge. Where can people find you? Where can they listen to your podcast? Where can they reach out if they are interested in, you know, working with you or have more questions?
Yeah. The easiest thing would be brettkfellows.com. So that's 2 T's and a K in the middle. So brettkfellows.com has everything you need right there. You can schedule directly from us from that site. And our podcast is Unchained from the Chair, anywhere you get your podcast. So give a listen. Hopefully we'll get as much energy as Jay. I may have to have Jay produce it with me, but
hey, listen, I'm a sound engineer now.
Oh my God. This has been so great. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to everyone that listens to us every other week. We are so grateful and thankful for you supporting us over the past few years. A big shout out to our sponsor at Oligo Pro on Instagram, at my best guy, at It's Mr. Jay Ladner, and myself at Nina Tullio. And if you learn anything from listening to us today, please know that it is okay to live in your truth and remember to always live your life out loud. See you next time.